Good evening and welcome to B'nai Assurance Beis Medrash program. This evening we have the schus of having Rav Sack continue with his summer shiurim at B'nai Assurance. The summer shiurim will be perspectives on mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro, and the topics will include vikacholim, nichum aveilim, kibud al ve'eim, and aveilus and arvus. The shiurim given during the summer and the learning during the summer in the program is the learning should be dedicated to the refuah shleima of Chaim Yisrocho ben Chaim Mushkat. Should have a complete refuah shleima. The colored god of Rav Sack.
Okay, thank you very much. It's certainly a pleasure to be able to once again join together for Limud HaTorah during the summer, to thank Henry and Jackie, as always, for coordinating these shiurim. The topic of these shiurim will be mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro, including many different broad topics that highlight that essential difference. The Ramban points out in Aseres HaDibros and Shmos and Perachav that the Aseres HaDibros were given on two different luchos, the first representing mitzvos ben adam l'makom, and the second half representing obligations ben adam l'chaveiro. The Ramban writes a fascinating comment that the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim serves as somewhat of a bridge, an elision, between the first luach and the second luach, because after all, kibud av v'eim has elements of both obligations to parents and part of one's obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel raises that essential question. Essentially, is kibud av v'eim a mitzvah which is ben adam l'makom, a mitzvah which is ben adam l'chaveiro? Because when it comes to certain mitzvahs, it's quite obvious to us how to categorize that particular mitzvah, but yet when it comes to others, it is not so clear at all. I not so long ago gave a shiur in California. They asked me to speak about going green in halacha. It's California, environmentalism. And the question is, that issur of Baal Tashchis, is that something which essentially is ben adam l'chaveiro, that if I waste, I am depriving others? Or perhaps there are elements as well as ben adam l'makom. After all, the Medrash tells us that Adam Rishon was given a tour of the entire world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to him and said that Tizoher, you must be so careful, Shelo Tekalkel Es Olami, that you don't destroy the beautiful, pristine world that I'm giving you. And if you do so, there's an element of Ben Adam Lamakom as well. Tonight's shiur will be devoted to the theme of the mitzvah of Tochacha, Hocheap Tochiaches Amisacha. You see that there's a fellow Jew that's committing an Avera. What is my responsibility to rebuke that individual? On the one hand, one could certainly envision that there are elements ben adam l'chaveiro, my attempt is to better his ways, but also perhaps even klapei shmaya, my obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to see to it that I will, to the extent that I am able, rectify any possibility of avera. And if someone is doing something that's wrong, it is up to me to defend kvod shamayim, and therefore a mitzvah of Tochacha. You know, even though this distinction is somewhat reasonable to us, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveiro, but yet it's interesting that there are differences lahalacha as well between these two categories. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva, based on the Gemara Neuman Daf Pehei, that how one goes about doing tshuva depends on whether something is a mitzvah ben adam l'makom, a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. The Rambam writes two differences. One is simply the obligation of ad shiratza es chavero. When you're dealing with an obligation between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore that is something between you and Hashem. There is no need to seek the attention of others. But if you wrong an individual, it's not enough simply to do tshuva klapei shmaya, but rather it's necessary to appease that individual as well. And the Rambam raises another interesting question. A person commits an avera. To what extent should a person keep that somewhat private? Or to what extent should that be something that is more public? After all, the Gemara Neuman Daf Pehei quotes psukim that seem to indicate both ways. The Rambam writes the answer is it depends whether it's been adam l'makom, whether it's been adam l'chaveiro. If I wrong an individual, I wrong a community, it's insufficient to allow that to remain a private matter. But yet, if it's a chait between an individual and Kadosh Baruch Hu, so in such a case, that the person should remain quiet quiet. It is not something that are publicized at all, and rather tshuva is done in a very private fashion. It's interesting, the Gemara raises the issue when it comes to mitzvos that are ben adam lamakom. It's not unusual that sometimes there's an expense involved in performing a mitzvah. A person has to purchase dalet minim, purchase tefillin, purchase matzah. A person is obligated to undergo that particular expense. But the Gemara writes, typically speaking, that's not true. When it comes to obligations, ben adam lechavera, with exception, obviously, of tzedakah, where that is the nature of the mitzvah. In fact, the Gemara raises the mitzvah of kibud av va'em mishomi. And the Gemara concludes that, technically speaking, I'm obligated to provide services, but the expenses that are involved, that should be funded, if possible, by parents, not by children. That seems to indicate that element of a mitzvah which is ben adam lechavera. The Rambam even writes, Perek Yud Aleph, Ifilchos Brachos, that we only recite brachos on a mitzvah which is ben adam lemakom. You don't recite a bracha on bikur cholim, or nichum aveilim, or achnasas orchim, or kibud av va'em. The Rambam writes that is all because a birchas hamitzvah is limited to a mitzvah that is ben adam lemakom, not an obligation that is ben adam lechavera. In fact, there's a comment Rav Yosef Engel has. It's found in Esven Daraisa and Klal Yud Gimel. Rav Yosef Engel raises the following. Let's assume the concept of onus rachmana patre. Because of extenuating condition, a person cannot go ahead and perform a mitzvah. We know, for example, that if a person performs an aveira of the shogeg, sometimes a person is chayiv a karban. Kapara is necessary. Ba'ones, there is no chiyuv karban. Is ones a maisa aveira, or is that not? That's the issue that Rav Yosef Engel discusses. If as a result of extenuating conditions, a person fails to perform a mitzvah or violates an aveira, to what extent do we assume that that is called an aveira? To what extent do we assume it is not? And he writes that essential difference. When it comes to mitzvos ben adam lamakom, if it's a case of absolute ones, that I could not have performed that mitzvah, that is not called an aveira at all. But you know what? When it comes to obligations that are ben adam lechavera, they are all result-oriented. And therefore, even if there is an ones that prevents me from performing that act, but undeniably that result did not occur. You know, in earlier shurim we discussed differences between a mitzvah where the act is emphasized, as opposed to a mitzvah where the desired result, the chalos, the polyotze, the effect is considered to be that which is primary. It's clear when it comes to obligations ben adam lechavera that it is the totsah, it's the effect, it's the consonance. It's not coincidental that in the mitzvah of nichum aveilim, bikur cholim, hashavas aveda, I am bettering another. And therefore that betterment that he receives, that is critical to the mitzvah itself. And there's even a fascinating comment that you find in Klei Chemda. It's found in the Hashmatos to Parshas Kiseitse, that, you know, we discussed in earlier shiurim the sugi of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Let's assume a person, the sugi Rosh Hashanah Chaches, hears shofar, eats matzah, eats maror, without kavana, does he fulfill the mitzvah? Does he not fulfill the mitzvah? Machlokes Rav Yossi, the Chachamim, Machlokes Rabbi and Rav Zeira, Tudeis and Shulchan Aruch and Simin Samach. Klei Chemda writes the following. What about when it comes to obligations ben adam lechaver? And here he writes the following insight that, you know, when it comes to a mitzvah ben adam lamakom, I could envision that kavana is absolutely necessary to the extent that mitzvah tzrichos kavana, without that, the mitzvah is not fulfilled. A person will eat matzah, not having in mind the mitzvah beratoch lamatzah. So I understand very well that maybe I could argue that, you know, you are not yotzei. But what about when it comes to obligations that are ben adam lechavera? A person, for example, performs kibud av va'em or gemilas chasadim, nicham avedim, bikur cholim. All of a sudden I realize, you know, I was menachim the other, but, you know, I didn't have in mind at the time that I'm doing so for the purpose of the mitzvah. even when it comes to mitzvos ben adam l'chavera, we believe in a certain sense of positive law that we do so first because we feel it's right, that's absolutely true, but also because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded that we do so. Even obligations ben adam l'chavera are a function of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mandates, and therefore we do. But the Klei Chemda writes, even if a person doesn't have that in mind, even if a person didn't have the requisite kavana when he performed the mitzvah ben adam l'chavera, can you honestly argue that therefore the mitzvah was meaningless? The act was of no consequence. A person comforts one who is ailing, a person comforts one who is mourning, a person performs the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So even though ideally he should have in mind that this also is one of the mitzvahs Hashem, and I'm doing so for that particular purpose, but nonetheless, b'dieved, there would still be a mitzvah even if kavana in fact is lacking. These are just a few of the differences that demonstrate that that distinction of mitzvos ben adam l'makom, mitzvos ben l'chavero, is not just merely a technical difference, but one that you find in the Aseres HaDibros themselves, and one which is very critical l'halacha with many differences between them. And as we mentioned, there are certain mitzvos where somehow the line is blurred, and it's not so obvious whether this is governed by mitzvos ben adam l'makom, whether this is considered to be that which is ben adam l'chavera. And one of those such mitzvos is what the Torah tells us in Vayikra and Perek Yud Tes, and that is the mitzvah tochacha. The Torah tells us, hocheach tochiach es amisecha. A person is committing an avera. And therefore the Torah simply tells us as follows. You go over to that person in a very warm, genteel, soft-handed way. You inform the person that what he is doing is incorrect, with the hope that the person will change his ways, and wonderful. As a result of your admonition, now the person is a greater tzaddik, and therefore that mitzvah has been performed. But we know from day-to-day experience, it isn't always so simple. Sometimes our intention could be very desirable, but you know, sometimes our words have no effect. Sometimes, Rachman al-Islam, our words can be counterproductive, that what tempted tochacha made the situation much worse. It didn't make the situation at all better. And the question is, what are the guidelines? What are the parameters of this mitzvah of hocheach tochiach es amisecha? When do we assume that one must engage in the mitzvah of tochacha? When do we assume quite the opposite is true, as the Gemara writes in Vamos and Daf Samech Hei, that k'shem shemitzvah al ha'adam lomar davar hanishma, that just as it's a mitzvah that a person should speak up when his words will resonate, kach mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to be quiet. You're not doing a person a favor by simply informing him, instructing him that that which he is doing is considered to be against the Dinei HaTorah. So one principle that you find explicitly in the Gemara is the Sugyan Beitza and Aflamad Amar Aleph. The context of the Gemara is the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, a mitzvah we've discussed on various occasions. Now, in addition to observing the restrictions and the halachos of Yom Kippur on Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara points out in Yuman Daf Pei Aleph that the Torah tells us, V'nisim es nafshosechem v'sish l'chodesh v'erev. We begin the fast of Yom Kippur on the 9th of Tishrei at night, on the 9th. Don't we know that Yom Kippur rather begins, of course, on the 10th? How is it that we understand Basish HaKodesh Ba'erev? The Gemara says, Mikan Shemosifin Mechol HaKodesh. We're obligated to begin Yom Kippur early, Me'erev Ad Erev, and extend Yom Kippur even after Seis HaKochavim. The Gemara recalls in Beitz and Daf Lamed that there were many who were very careful, meticulous about the Dine Yom HaKippurim, but not so careful about the Halacha of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And the Gemara says the reality was is that they didn't realize. They were doing so inadvertently. They were doing so bishogeg. And if they were told that it was wrong, they would continue to do so intentionally, b'nezik. And that's the context with which the Gemara states the overarching principle of mutav sheishogegin va'al yuhum izidin. You are better off allowing a person to violate Navera bishogeg rather than admonish them. And as a result of your divrei tochacha, now they will violate the avera. B'meizid, if the attempt of tochacha is to better that individual. You are making the situation not better but far worse by informing them that this is in Avera, and therefore the Gemara says, do not give that divrei tochacha mutav shishogigin va'al yehu mezidin. The Gemara questions, one could have envisioned many examples of this principle. Why do you give an example of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? The Gemara comments as follows, to tell us that this principle applies even to a mitzvah min HaTorah, because Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is an obligation midaraisa. Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yantif, that we discussed in many shiurim. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara writes explicitly, the need to begin Yom Kippur early, 10 Yom Kippur late, that is a mitzvah daraisa, and we apply the principle of mutav sheshogin al yemezidin even to that principle as well. If you look in the Rif makes the following comment, that we apply the concept of mutav sheshogin al yemezidin even to Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and to any similar mitzvah in HaTorah, meaning something that is not explicit, but rather something that is derived based on a drasha. After all, if I were to ask you, what is the source of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? You wouldn't necessarily know the source unless you're familiar with that Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Aleph. It's a drasha in HaTorah. And that's how the Mechaber presents this in Siman Tav Resh Ches, that if you have something that is explicit, it's black and white, it's mefurish b'kra, then you don't apply the principle of mutav sheshogin v'ayim ezunin. You know, you leave the Shulchan Aruch, you get the impression, if something is black and white, it's a pasuk and chumash, then you're obligated to give tochacha, even if the person is doing so b'shogin. But the question is why? Why should there be such a difference between that which is a drasha, or that which is explicit? You know, it is true, if you look in the Prima Gadim, in his introduction to Shulchan Aruch, in the Psicha HaKoleles, Prima Gadim writes as follows, it's very important to realize that not all dinim daraisa are equal, not all dinim darabanan are equal. That which is explicit is more stringent, more chamor, than that which is a simple drasha. And the same is true when it comes to dinim darabanan. The more a din darabanan is linked to a pasuk, the more chamor the din d'rabanan is. In fact, that's why even though the Gemara will be discussing a din d'rabanan, the Gemara will always ask, is there a pasuk that indicates this din d'rabanan? Why do we search for a pasuk for a din d'rabanan? The answer is because if something is rooted in a pasuk, that we call an asmachta. An asmachta is more chamor than a typical Takana Drabanan, that which is rooted in the Psukei HaTorah, that is considered to be that which is like more chamor than something which is simply a drasha, whether it's daraisa and whether in fact it's drabanan. In fact, that's what the Ritva writes. The Ritva attacks the view of the Rambam, because there's a line in the Rambam, is Hagdama to Pirush Mishnayis, where the Rambam seems to indicate, you know what an asmachta is? It's a form of a mnemonic. Zechiras Devarim Ba'alma. How do you remember all these dinim d'rabbanim? Well, the answer is we link them to psukim. So the Ritva understood the Rambam to mean that somehow an asmachta is kind of artificial. It's just our way of classifying dinim d'rabbanim or remembering dinim d'rabbanim. The Ritva writes, this is divrininus. This is apikorsus to mean saying that that's true. This is kavana sabore. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended that the Torah should have dinim d'araisa, dinim d'rabbanim. Certain things are explicit, others are referenced, others are allusions, but that is all Kavana Sabarei, that was the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah HaKadosh. And that's why the Gemara always wants to know, even when it comes to Din and Rabbanan, how closely linked is it to a particular pasuk. So maybe one could argue that this is a further indication that this is true, that which is explicit is more chamor than that which is a drasha. Because after all, the Rif, the Shulchan Aruch writes that if something is explicit, we don't apply the principle of mutav sheshogegin, volume is even. However, if you look in Zerama, in the dark emotion, that simin, tuf reish ches, there the Rama writes that is not the case. That is not the case. But rather, that distinction in Shulchan Aruch, if something is explicit, then we don't assume mutav sheshogegin, volume is even, is based on a certain assumption. And that assumption maybe was true then, but I would argue it's not true now, that if something is black and white,
If something is explicit, it is so universally known that the person really is not shogeg. Okay? Because after all, everyone knows, everyone's aware of the Taryag mitzvot that are mefurish bakra. Not everyone's familiar with every single drasha, but that which is mefurish bakra, then we do not assume that the person really is a shogeg. If that really is true, as the Rama writes, therefore that would make a significant difference for us. We live in a time where people are not as well-versed. People cannot necessarily argue that they are so well versed in all of Taryag Mitzvot to assume that that really is the case. We have all come in contact with individuals who are true shogegin even when it comes to that which is explicit, and therefore then we would apply the principle of mutar shogin v'ayum izidin. Maybe when it comes to Aseres HaDibros, maybe they're so universal that if a person will tell you, you know, he's never heard of Lo Sirtzach and Lo Signov and Lo Sinov and so on, maybe he would say, you know, the person is being disingenuous. But no, they know that one should not steal and one should not kill, but certainly the kopis of mitzvahs generally, many people are doing so b'shogeg, and then we would apply that principle of mutav sheshogeg in va'al yehu mizidins. That's principle number one. That before a person gives tochacha, they have to assess, is the person doing so intentionally? Is the person doing so inadvertently? And then what will the outcome of the tochacha be? If as a result of my admonition, the person who was doing so b'shogeg is now doing so b'mezid, in such a case, that was terribly counterproductive. In fact, there's a fascinating comment of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes that that's an iser daraisa of lifnei iver for the one who is giving the tochacha. After all, you're not allowed to cause a Jew to stumble. You're not allowed to go ahead and to give them achalos asiros. You're going to inform him that what he's doing is forbidden. He's going to continue to do so nonetheless. Therefore, you've made the situation far worse, not at all better, and therefore that is your iser daraisa of lifnei velo sitin echshon. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Where the Gemara is less clear is what happens if a person is doing so b'mezid. A person intentionally is violating a Torah prohibition. Well, look, if I think that I can influence that individual, and I will patiently and softly explain to that person what he is doing, and that will change his ways, isn't that the great fulfillment of Ocheav Tocheav Chesam Yisecha? But you know, that is not always the case. I know the person is doing so b'mezid. I know that he will continue that performance even after I give him the Divrei Tochacha. Is there any reason to admonish that individual where he's doing so b'mezid, but I know that my words will not have any desired effect at all? In fact, the Yireim writes that maybe your words will make things worse, because after all, even if the person is doing so b'mezid, isn't there a difference between a person doing something b'mezid or a person doing something after he receives Hasra? So imagine a person is doing something amazing, and I go over to him and inform him, this is absolutely forbidden, and then he continues and does so. So you know, maybe that Avera is worse than otherwise it would have been. It's not a shogeg, but nonetheless, I certainly have not bettered the situation, made it far worse, and maybe one could argue that in such a sense, if there is no desired result, then there is no mitzvah of tochacha. We wouldn't apply that principle of hocheach tochiach es amisecha. Or maybe in turn one could argue quite differently, you know, maybe an element of the mitzvah tochacha is to defend kvod shamayim. After all, if a person is performing an avera, shouldn't someone speak up and let the person know that, you know, we object to this performance, so therefore, independent, irrespective of the impact of my words, but simply perhaps to register the fact that I am informing you that that is considered to be forbidden, maybe that also is part of this mitzvah of tochacha. So this is something that is less clear. See, if you look at that gemara that I mentioned, Yivamos Nafsamachem, that's where the gemara says that kishem shemitzvah al ha'adam lomar davar hanishma, just as it's a mitzvah to give tochacha when the words will resonate, kaf mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar she'en hanishma. Sometimes just be quiet, be quiet. If it's eno nishma, it will not have a desired effect. Do not engage that person. And yet, when you look in the Gemara in Erechin and Daf Tezayin, the Gemara has a three-ray machlokas, Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says the following: Ad heichan mitzvah tochacha. How far do you have to go when you give tochacha? So Rabbi Yochanan writes, Ad shas nezifa. When I see the person's reacting, I see this is not going as well as I thought it was. I see that the person is getting angered. Then you stop. No longer is there a mitzvah tochacha. And Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, Ad kedei klola. No, you have to keep on giving tochacha until the person is about to curse you. And Rav goes a step further, Ad kedei haka. You give the person tochacha until literally he's going to physically lash out against you. Once that happens, oh, then you have a right to take a step back and say, I've done my share. But Ad kedei haka. Interesting, the Rambam, Perek Vav Hilchos Deos, Paskin was like Rav. Ad kedei haka. Ad kedei haka. So the question simply is as follows: how do you resolve those two sugyas? On the one hand, that mitzvah al ha'adam lomar davar hanishma, mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar she'en hanishma. On the other hand, haka, klala, nezifa, doesn't that indicate that there's a mitzvah tafacha, even though my words will not have a desired impact? How do you resolve that apparent contradiction? You know, one possibility is exactly that difference. Maybe it depends on whether it is shogeg or whether it is nezif. Maybe one could argue that that Gemara Yevamos of mitzvah al ha'adam shlolam adavar shino nishma is as the Gemara writes in Beitza on Daf Lamed. Right? That's referring to the shogeg. If a person is doing so inadvertently, that's when I have to assess. And then mitzvah al ha'adam shlolam adavar shino nishma. However, if a person is doing so b'mezid, so a person should give tochacha. How far? Ad heichan mitzvah tochacha. The three possibilities of hakar, klala, and nezif. In fact, that's what Avnei Ezer writes in Tav Samach Aleph. Because Avnei Ezer writes an interesting chiddush. How can you say that if the reason wouldn't apply, the reason presumably for tochacha is that I am trying to better the ways of that individual. But if I know that's not going to occur, well, if the reason doesn't apply, then the halacha should not apply. Do we have a right to say that? That if the reason no longer applies, therefore the mitzvah would not apply? Avnei Ezer writes in Tav Samach Aleph that, you know, isn't that the issue of darshinan or lo darshinan time dekra? Do we limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on its reason? If you look, for example, in the Sugim Bav Metzin of Kuf Tezvav, the Gemara discusses the following. The Torah tells us, Losachva Beger Almana, that when an almana comes to you in need, she wants to borrow funds, you're not allowed to go ahead and insist on a mashkan, a collateral from her. So, Machokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, that Amana ben Shaniya ben Shiashira im mashkinenosa, that an Amana, you are not allowed to insist on collateral, regardless of her financial status. Whether she's coming to you because she's impoverished, or if she's coming to you because she is quite wealthy, but for purposes of investments, im mashkinenosa. The pasuk says, Lasachbo beget Amana. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon writes that no, that prohibition of Lasachbo beget Amana only applies to an amana who is an aniya. It doesn't apply to an amana who is an ashira. What is that machlokas? The Gemara is the machlokas is whether darshinan or lo darshinan time of dekra. Do we have a right? Look, tami ha-mitzvos, that certainly is part of limud ha-Torah, to understand why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. We certainly don't believe that mitzvos are random, capricious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have commanded us to do A, but instead commanded us to do B. There are clearly tami ha-mitzvos for all mitzvos, even chukim beyond our understanding, but no, Yediyas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly why. He commanded us to perform this, that for us has the appearance of a chok. But aside from the realm of limud ha-Torah, Rabbi Yehuda says we have no right to limit the scope of the halacha based on its reason, to argue, well, you know, if the reason doesn't apply, the halacha doesn't apply. So the Torah tells us, Losachbo beged amana, do not take a collateral. And even if presumably it's because that, look, she's in need, she's impoverished, she's lost her husband, but you have no right to say, well, you know, the halacha only applies
under such circumstances. And Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon maintains this great Kiddush that we can limit, or sometimes even the opposite, expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason. So Rabbi Nezer writes, we don't assume like Rabbi Shimon. We assume that lo dashin and time dekra. So if the Torah tells us, what right do you have to start arguing that, you know, the reason for tochacha is to better the ways of that individual, and therefore I know he's not going to listen to me, and therefore the mitzvah tochacha should not apply? Isn't that called lo dashin and time dekra? That's the kasha of Rabbi Nezer, Yeradeya Simin Tav, Samav Aleph. I would respond with 2 points. Point number one is as follows. Do we always assume that that's true? That lo darshin and time is a kra, that very Gemara, but Metzia Kuptezvav. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amana, ben shinia, ben shiashira, enun ashkenasa. Do not ask for any collateral. The Gemara raises the following kasha. But what about this case, when it comes to a melech? The Torah tells us that lo yarbalo nashin, that a melech should not have an excessive amount of wives. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, Yisa, Ubovad, Shalo Yehi Mesiro Sosnimo. No, a melech can marry many women as long as he makes sure that these women will, right, bring him closer to the Torah Seshem and not turn him away from the Torah Seshem. So the Gemara asks the Kasha. The Torah says no, and Rabbi Yehuda says, well, yes, if the reason is applicable, then yes, the halach applies, and if not, then not. Isn't that called Darshin and time of Dekra? The Gemara gives an obvious answer. There's a big difference between Losach Bo'Began Amana as opposed to Loyar B'Lan Ashim. When it comes to Losach Bo'Began Amana, the Torah doesn't tell us the reason at all. No reason is mentioned. When it comes to Loyar B'Lan Ashim, the Torah tells us V'lo Yasu Levavo, that they shouldn't turn the heart of the Melech away from the Torah Seshem. That's an incredibly powerful line of the Gemara. In other words, when the reason is not mentioned in Chumash, then we have no right necessarily to say this is the reason, and the halach is limited to those cases where this reason applies. But if the Torah goes out of its way and tells us the reason, that means that the reason is built into the very fabric of the halacha, to the extent that even Rabbi would agree that Darshin and Tam Dekra. And there are many, many such examples. If you look in the Rush, the Rush writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Rush writes that why is it that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not so readily fulfilled this man? Isn't that the last of the Targ mitzvahs, Kisvah Lachem, et Sashira Hazaos? The Rush writes that what do you mean? The Torah tells us why is it so essential to write a Sefer Torah? The Pasuk continues, V'landos B'nei Yisrael Sima Bethiyem, to facilitate Liman HaTorah. That's what the Rush's stunning line is, that for us, already in the Rosh's time, we don't learn from Sifrei Torah, right? We learn from other Svarim and other texts. So therefore, that is how we can have an abundance of Limud HaTorah. Doesn't have to be through Ksiva Sefer Torah. What right does the Rosh have to say that, well, the mitzvah shifts, changes? What about Darshin and Lo Darshin and Time of the Krah? The answer simply is the Rosh writes there, the reason is explicit in the Pasuk. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin that now that a person who is Nifter must be buried immediately. Ki kavra sik b'rena b'yamahu. And all of a sudden the Mishnah tells us that no, helinu l'chvodam, that for purpose of kvod hames you can delay burial. How can you delay a burial? The Pasuk says burial must occur on that given day. The answer very simply is because the Pasuk says what's wrong with delaying burial? Ki kilas elokim tavay. It's a bizayon. It's degrading. It's debasing. It's debasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's tzadam elokim. It's debasing for the nifter to do so. So the Mishnah says, if it's done to enhance kavod hames, it's not done in the spirit of bizay hames. That is considered to be that which is mutter. That's the chiddush that the Bach writes, Tafrei Shafei, that the Mechaber in the tour spend an entire simen telling us the significance of the mitzvah of sukkah. It's a little unusual. An entire siman as to why is it that you sit in sukkah. So the Bach writes,
Why is that so important? It's always important to know why we do mitzvot, but why here, an entire siman? The answer is because the pasuk says, "Basukos teishu shivas yamim," and the pasuk continues, "Leman yedu derosechem ki basukos hashavti." The Torah tells us you should sit the sukkah in order to realize. So that realization is critical, understanding the why. Why are we commanded to do so? That's part of the mitzvah of sukkah. To the extent that one would not either fully fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, that's what the Bach writes, Safei Shvafei, the Bikur Yaakov writes, you would not be yotze even b'di'evet if you don't understand the significance of the mitzvah of sukkah. You know, in three places, the Mechaber emphasizes the significance of a particular mitzvah. Simen Ches, when it comes to tzitzis, the purpose of tzitzis is reisamos soschartim. Simen Chafei, when it comes to tefillin, and then the parshas Bo, the Torah tells us why do we wear tefillin? Well, one is l'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'picha. Torah should always be fluent in our mouth, and also to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. In Simen Chafei Shchafei, when it comes to Sukkot, in all three places, the Torah goes out of its way and stresses the reason for the mitzvah. L'man tizkru. Laman tia Torah Hashem b'picha. Laman yidu d'rosechem. If the pasuk tells us why, you know, that's critical. That means that that's part of the fabric of the halacha. That's not just simply limud haTorah. That's necessary. And therefore, that's true when it comes to Talmud Dekra as well. That if the reason is explicit in the pasuk, then that is something that is critical. And even Rabbi Yehuda admits you can limit the scope of halacha based on the reason. An interesting chiddush. What about when it comes to the mitzvah of tochacha? Here, somewhat unclear. The Yikra Yotes, Hocheach tochiach es on yisecha. And then the pasuk thing is, lo sisa alochet. What is the Sefer Dekra? What is that next phrase? Lo sislav chait mean? So if you look in Rashi, just as an example, Rashi writes, lo sislav chait means as follows. But look, you're obligated to admonish the person, but you know what? Don't commit a chait in doing so. You know, you're going to use this as an opportunity to publicly chastise an embarrassed individual who's doing so. No, don't use tofafa as an opportunity to unnecessarily embarrass the individual. So you have to be careful. You have to do so with great care, with great seichel. That's how Rashi understands. Tochacha, yes, but be careful in the process of tochacha. You know, people, l'man Hashem, kvod shamayim, they can do reckless things sometimes. Be careful. You're giving tochacha, realize that a person's integrity, a person's feelings are at stake, and therefore you have to balance. Okay. According to Rashi, the Sefer Dekra is not a reason for tochacha. The Sefer Dekra is just simply one of the conditions of tochacha. Give tochacha in the following manner, that you don't cause the person unnecessary embarrassment. Good. But if you look at others, look in the Ramban, for example, they explain lo sisa l'chait perhaps more directly, and that is that the Torah is addressing the essence of tochacha. Why is it that a person should give tochacha? You know why? Because a person is committing a chait. And by giving appropriate tochacha, you can have an impact. That can make a difference. The person will no longer continue violating the chait. And therefore, if you fail to do so, you're going to bear part of that burden, because now you're in a position, as uncomfortable as it may seem to you, that your words can resonate, your words can impact, and if you don't get involved, you're bearing part of that particular chait. In other words, that second half of the pasuk, the sisal of chait, is addressing the why question. Why is it they're giving tochacha? And the answer is because your words matter. Your words will make a difference. In other words, this is an example of a case where the reason is explicit. And if the reason is explicit, then we do assume that Darshin and Tam Dekra. So to answer that question of Avnei Nezer, what right do we have to assume to argue that Tochacha is somewhat limited? It only applies in cases where your words will resonate and otherwise not? Maybe the answer is because that's how the Ramban reads the Pasuk itself, the Tam is Mefurish Bekra. A step further, there's a fascinating comment that you find in the name of the Rush. This is quoted in Shita Mekubetzes and Bava Metzia and Daf Tzadi.
You know, the Torah tells us that losach sam shorbedisha,
that I have an animal, right? The animal is plowing, right, my field. The Torah tells me that I must allow that animal free rein to graze. If I muzzle the animal, so that's grossly unfair. That the animal is working, an animal cannot go ahead and eat, and in such a case, that's the isra of chasima. That's the whole model that the Torah tells us of the onesh of malchus when it comes to violating, right, losase. If I were to ask you why is the Torah concerned with this? You know, the Ravid writes, that's the source of Tzar Bali Chaim. The Gemara writes about Metzian, Daf Lamed Aleph, Daf Lamed Beis, that Tzar Bali Chaim is Daraisa. The Gemara never quotes a source for Tzar Bali Chaim. Where do you see that Tzar Bali Chaim is forbidden in our Torah? So the Ravid writes that it's derived from Losach Sam Shorbedisha. Isn't it obvious that the Torah says that you can't muzzle an animal? Why? Because you're causing animal harm or pain. And who cares? The answer is, who cares? Tzar Bali Chaim, right, is that which is Daraisa. So the Gemara discusses the following case. The Rambam quotes this Perek Yerchesef of Chaschirus. The animal is grazing. The animal is plowing for me. I know that this crop is detrimental to the animal, no? I know if the animal eats, this animal is going to drop dead. Now this animal has become very ill eating from this particular crop. So what do you do? So I'm going to argue, the Torah tells me Vosasun Shabadisha. I'm not allowed to muzzle the animal, so therefore let the animal plow, and whatever happens will happen. I have no choice. My hands are tied. I'm not allowed to muzzle the animal. So the Gemara writes about Matiyan Daf Tzadin, that's the Psak Halacha of the Rambam as well. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In such a case, one must muzzle the animal. One must muzzle the animal. In other words, the whole purpose of the Isr Hasima is that which is for the betterment of the animal. And if it is more healthy for the animal to be muzzled as opposed to let the animal eat and get very ill, in such a case, then there is no Isr of Lo Safsam Shorbedisha. So the Rush raises the following question. Wait, why? What right do we have to limit the scope of the halacha based on the reason? The Torah says don't muzzle. And I'm arguing that no, under these conditions you should absolutely muzzle. Why? Because this is the reason and the reason doesn't apply. No? Well, up until now we said, is the reason explicit? You have to look at the pasuk. The reason is not explicit when it comes to Lo Safsam Shorbedisha. There's no pasuk that tells us why. So what right do you have to do so? So the Rosh writes this fascinating chiddush. You're right, there's no pasuk that tells you why, but if you ask me why, it's obvious. It's obvious. And if the tam is obvious, then everyone agrees that shin and tam is correct. Either if it's explicit in the pasuk, or if it doesn't have to be specified, because it's something that is so clear to us that that is the case. In either instance, we assume Darshin and Tam and Dekra. Perhaps both reasons could apply, right, to the mitzvah of Tochacha. What right do we have to assume that, well, if my words will not have the desired effect, that the mitzvah of Tochacha does not apply? One possibility is to read the Pasuk as Ramban, because that's what the Torah is telling us. Well, Sislav Chet means that you must give tochacha, because failing to give tochacha means that an aver will be committed that you could have put an end to, because your words will impact. Well, if that's what the pasuk means, then it's mufurish b'kra. But even if you understand as Rashi does, that no, the second half of the pasuk is not addressing the why question, but simply the manner in which you give tochacha, how tochacha is given. Give tochacha in such a way that you're not committing an aver in the process of the tochacha. Don't embarrass the person. But one could still argue that the reason is still obvious. Why does the Torah tell us that hochiach tochiach samisecha? Isn't it with the hope, with the desire that your words will impact, and you'll be able to change and mold and shape the behavior of that individual, and therefore the chiddush of the Rosh that if the reason is clear, even then we assume that darshinan tamidakra. Right, this is the view of many Rishonim, the view of Tosus and Shabbos, the view of the Yireim, right, that even the Mezid,
If I know that my words are not going to have any desired impact, then we don't assume that the mitzvah of tochacha applies, either because the tam is mefurish b'kra, or because the tam is something that is clear, it is obvious, in fact, to us. So therefore, that is a possibility in explaining the two gemaras. Again, the Gemara Yevamos tells us that there's a mitzvah al ha'adam, shelo lomar davar shino nishma. The Gemara Erechin that seems to indicate hakah, nazifa, klala, that one must do so nonetheless. So one possibility was the Avinez's answer. The first Gemara is only b'shogeg. The maze that a person is obligated to give tochacha, even if his words will not be received. But here we pointed out that many Rishonim disagree. The kasha of the Avinezer, isn't that called Arshin and Daim and Akra? The answer is no and no. Either no because the time is mafurish b'kra, right, or no because the Tam is sufficiently clear that the Torah doesn't have to tell us, in fact, its reasons. What we'll have to discuss are other possibilities, right, to explain and resolve these two Gemaras. When do we assume that a person has to go on a limb, as the Rambam writes, Ad Kedei Haka, Ad Kedei Haka? And when do we assume that Mitzvah Al Adam Shalom Adavar She'eino Nishma? So as mentioned, one possibility, Shogeg versus Mezid, that we'll have to see in the next year. Other possibilities in terms of how to resolve that apparent contradiction between the Gemara Yevamos and Daf Samachay and the Sugin Erechim and Daf Tezai.
Thank you. Next year will be Wednesday evening, July, this Wednesday, and then the following Wednesday on July 6th.